Decree on the Catholic Churches of the Eastern Rite, Orientalium Ecclesiarum, solemnly promulgated by His Holiness Pope Paul VI on November 21, 1964. Preamble. The Catholic Church holds in high esteem the institutions, liturgical rites, ecclesiastical traditions, and the established standards of the Christian life of the Eastern Churches. For in them, distinguished as they are for their venerable antiquity, there remains conspicuous the tradition that has been handed down from the Apostles through the Fathers, and that forms part of the divinely revealed and undivided heritage of the Universal Church. This sacred ecumenical council, therefore, in its care for the Eastern Churches which bear living witness to this tradition, in order that they may flourish and with new apostolic vigour execute the task entrusted to them, has determined to lay down a number of principles, in addition to those which refer to the Universal Church. All else is remitted to the care of the Eastern Synods and of the Holy See. Individual Churches or Rites. The Holy Catholic Church, which is the mystical body of Christ, is made up of the faithful who are organically united in the Holy Spirit by the same faith, the same sacraments, and the same government, who, combining together into various groups which are held together by a hierarchy, form separate churches or rites. Between these, there exists an admirable bond of union, such that the variety within the Church in no way harms its unity. Rather, it manifests it. For it is the mind of the Catholic Church that each individual church or rite should retain its traditions, whole and entire, and likewise that it should adapt its way of life to the different needs of time and place. These individual churches, whether of the East or the West, although they differ somewhat among themselves in rite, to use the current phrase, that is, in liturgy, ecclesiastical discipline, and spiritual heritage, are nonetheless, each as much as the others, entrusted to the pastoral government of the Roman Pontiff and divinely appointed successor of St. Peter in primacy over the Universal Church. They are consequently of equal dignity, so that none of them is superior to the others as regards right, and they enjoy the same rights and are under the same obligations, also in respect of preaching the gospel to the whole world under the guidance of the Roman Pontiff. Means should be taken, therefore, in every part of the world for the protection and advancement of all the individual churches, and to this end there should be established parishes and a special hierarchy where the spiritual good of the faithful demands it. The hierarchs of the different individual churches with jurisdiction in one and the same territory should, by taking common counsel in regular meetings, strive to promote unity of action and with common endeavour to sustain common tasks, so as better to further the good of religion and to safeguard more effectively the ordered way of life of the clergy. All clerics and those aspiring to sacred orders should be instructed in the rites and especially in the practical norms that must be applied to inter-ritual questions. The laity, too, should be taught as part of its catechetical education about rites and their rules. Finally, each and every Catholic, as also the baptized of every non-Catholic church or denomination who enters into the fullness of the Catholic communion, must retain his own right wherever he is, must cherish it and observe it to the best of his ability, without prejudice to the right in special cases of persons, communities or areas, of recourse to the Apostolic See, which, as the supreme judge of interchurch relations, will, acting itself or through other authorities, meet the needs of the occasion in an ecumenical spirit, by the issuance of opportune directives, decrees, and rescripts. Preservation of the spiritual heritage of the Eastern Churches. History, tradition, and abundant ecclesiastical institutions bear outstanding witness to the great merit owing to the Eastern Churches by the Universal Church. The Sacred Council, therefore, not only accords to this ecclesiastical and spiritual heritage the high regard which is its due and rightful praise, but also unhesitatingly looks on it as the heritage of the Universal Church. For this reason, it solemnly declares that the churches of the East, as much as those in the West, have a full right and are in duty bound to rule themselves, each in accordance with its own established disciplines, since all these are praiseworthy by reason of their venerable antiquity, more harmonious with the character of their faithful, and more suited to the promotion of the good of souls. All members of the Eastern Rite should know and be convinced that they can and should always preserve their legitimate liturgical rite and their established way of life, and that these may not be altered except to obtain for themselves an organic improvement. All these, then, must be observed by the members of the Eastern Rites themselves. Besides, they should attain to an ever greater knowledge and a more exact use of them, and, if in their regard they have fallen short, owing to contingencies of times and persons, they should take steps to return to their ancestral traditions. Those who, by reason of their office or apostolic ministries, are in frequent communication with the Eastern churches or their faithful, should be instructed according as their office demands in the knowledge and veneration of the rites, discipline, doctrine, history, and character of the members of the Eastern Rites. To enhance the efficacy of their apostolate, religious and associations of the Latin Rite working in Eastern countries or among Eastern faithful are earnestly counseled to found houses and even provinces of the Eastern Rite as far as this can be done. Eastern Rite Patriarchs. The Patriarchate, as an institution, has existed in the Church from the earliest times and was recognized by the first ecumenical councils. By the name Eastern Patriarch is meant the bishop to whom belongs jurisdiction over all bishops, not excepting metropolitans, clergy, and people of his own territory or right, in accordance with canon law and without prejudice to the primacy of the Roman pontiff. Wherever a hierarch of any rite is appointed outside the territorial bounds of the patriarchate, he remains attached to the hierarchy of the patriarchate of that rite in accordance with canon law. Though some of the patriarchates of the Eastern churches are of earlier and some of later date, nonetheless all are equal in respect to the patriarchal dignity, without, however, prejudice to the legitimately established precedents of honour. By the most ancient tradition of the Church, the patriarchs of the Eastern churches are to be accorded special honour, seeing that each is set over his patriarchate as father and head. This sacred council, therefore, determines that their rights and privileges should be re-established in accordance with the ancient tradition of each of the churches and the decrees of the ecumenical councils. The rights and privileges in question are those that obtained in the time of union between East and West, though they should be adapted somewhat to modern conditions. The patriarchs, with their synods, are of the highest authority for all business of the patriarchate, including the right of establishing new eparchies and of nominating bishops of their right within the territorial bounds of the patriarchate, without prejudice to the inalienable right of the Roman pontiff to intervene in individual cases. What has been said of the patriarchs is valid also, in harmony with the canon law, in respect to major archbishops, who rule the whole of some individual church or rite. Seeing that the patriarchal office in the Eastern Church is a traditional form of government, the Sacred Ecumenical Council ardently desires that new patriarchates should be erected where there is need, to be established either by an ecumenical council or by the Roman pontiff. The discipline of the sacraments. The Sacred Ecumenical Council confirms and approves the ancient discipline of the sacraments existing in the Oriental churches, as also the ritual practices connected with their celebration and administration, and ardently desires that this should be re-established if circumstances warrant it. The established practice in respect of the minister of confirmation that has obtained from the most early times in the Eastern Church should be fully restored. Therefore, priests validly confer the sacrament using chrism blessed by a patriarch or a bishop. All Eastern Rite priests, either in conjunction with baptism or separately from it, can confer this sacrament validly on all the faithful of any rite, including the Latin. Licitly, however, only if the regulations both of the common and the particular law are observed. Priests, also, of the Latin rite, in accordance with the faculties they enjoy in respect of the administration of this sacrament, validly administer it also to the faithful of Eastern churches, without prejudice to the rite, observing in regard to licitness of the regulations both of the common and of the particular law. The faithful are bound to take part on Sundays and feast days in the divine liturgy, or according to the regulations or custom of their own right, in the celebration of the divine office. That the faithful may be able more easily to fulfill their obligation, it is laid down that the period of time within which the precept should be observed extends from Vespers of the vigil to the end of the Sunday or the feast day. The faithful are earnestly exhorted to receive Holy Communion on these days, and indeed more frequently, yes, even daily. Owing to the fact that the faithful of the different individual churches dwell intermingled with each other in the same area or eastern territory, the faculties for hearing confession duly and without restriction given to priests of any right by their own hierarchs extend to the whole territory of him who grants them, and also to the places and faithful of any other rite in the same territory, unless the hierarch of the place has expressly excluded this for places of his rite. In order that the ancient established practice of the sacrament of orders in the Eastern churches may flourish again, this sacred council ardently desires that the office of the permanent diaconate should, where it has fallen into disuse, be restored. The legislative authorities of each individual church should decide about the subdiaconate and the minor orders and the rights and obligations attached to them. To obviate invalid marriages when Eastern Catholics marry baptized Eastern non-Catholics, and in order to promote fidelity in the sanctity of marriage, as well as peace within the family, the Sacred Council determines that the canonical form for the celebration of these marriages is of obligation only for licity. For their validity, the presence of a sacred minister is sufficient, provided that other prescriptions of law are observed. Divine worship. It belongs only to an ecumenical council, or to the Apostolic See, to determine, transfer, or suppress feast days common to all the Eastern churches. On the other hand, to determine, transfer, or suppress the feast days of any of the individual churches is within the competence not only of the Apostolic See, but also of the Patriarchal or Archiepiscopal Synod, due regard being had to the whole area and the other individual churches. Until such time as all Christians are agreed on a fixed day for the celebration of Easter, with a view meantime to promoting unity among the Christians of the same area or nation, it is left to the patriarchs or supreme authorities of a place to come to an agreement by the unanimous consent and combined council of those affected to celebrate the Feast of Easter on the same Sunday. Individual faithful dwelling outside the area or territory of their own right may follow completely the established custom of the place where they live as regards the law of the sacred seasons. In families of mixed right, it is permissible to observe this law according to one and the same rite. Eastern clerics and religious should celebrate in accordance with the prescriptions and traditions of their own established customs the divine office, which from ancient times has been held in high honor in all Eastern churches. The faithful too should follow the example of their forebears and assist devoutly as occasion allow at the divine office. It belongs to the Patriarch with his Synod, or to the supreme authority of each church with the Council of the Hierarchs, to regulate the use of languages in the sacred liturgical functions, and, after reference to the Apostolic See, of approving translations of texts into the vernacular. Relations with the Brethren of the Separated Churches. The Eastern Churches, in communion with the Apostolic See of Rome, have a special duty of promoting the unity of all Christians, especially Eastern Christians, in accordance with the principles of the decree about ecumenism of this sacred council, by prayer in the first place, and by the example of their lives, by religious fidelity to the ancient Eastern traditions, by a greater knowledge of each other, by collaboration, and a brotherly regard for objects and feelings. If any separated Eastern Christian should, under the guidance of the grace of the Holy Spirit, join himself to the unity of Catholics, no more should be required of him than what his bare profession of the Catholic faith demands. Eastern clerics, seeing that a valid priesthood is preserved among them, are permitted to exercise the orders they possess by joining the unity of the Catholic Church, in accordance with the regulations established by the competent authority. Common participation in worship. communicatio in sacris, which harms the unity of the Church or involves formal acceptance of error or the danger of aberration in the faith, of scandal and indifferentism, is forbidden by divine law. On the other hand, pastoral experience shows clearly that, as regards our Eastern brethren, there should be taken into consideration the different cases of individuals, where neither the unity of the Church is hurt, nor are verified the dangers that must be avoided, but where the needs of the salvation of souls and their spiritual good are impelling motives. For that reason, the Catholic Church has always adopted, and now adopts rather a mild policy, offering to all the means of salvation, and an example of charity among Christians, through participation in the sacraments, and in other sacred functions and things. With this in mind, lest because of the harshness of our judgment we be an obstacle to those seeking salvation, and in order more and more to promote the union with the Eastern Churches separated from us, the Sacred Council lays down the following policy. Without prejudice to the principles noted earlier, Eastern Christians who are in fact separated in good faith from the Catholic Church, if they ask of their own accord and have the right dispositions, may be admitted to the sacraments of penance, the Eucharist, and the anointing of the sick. Further, Catholics may ask for these same sacraments from those non-Catholic ministers whose churches possess valid sacraments, as often as necessary, or a genuine spiritual benefit recommends such a course, and access to a Catholic priest is physically or morally impossible. Further, given the same principles, common participation by Catholics with their Eastern separated brethren in sacred functions, things, and places is allowed for a just cause. The conciliatory policy with regard to communicatio in sacris, participation in things sacred, with the brethren of the separated Eastern churches is put into the care and control of the local hierarchs, in order that, by combined counsel among themselves and, if need be, after consultation also with the hierarchs of the separated churches, they may, by timely and effective regulations and norms, direct relations among Christians. Conclusion. The Sacred Council feels great joy in the fruitful, zealous collaboration of the Eastern and Western Catholic Churches, and at the same time declares, all these directives of law are laid down in view of the present situation, till such time as the Catholic Church and the separated Eastern Churches come together into complete unity. Meanwhile, however, all Christians, Eastern as well as Western, are earnestly asked to pray to God fervently and assiduously, nay, indeed daily, that, with the aid of the Most Holy Mother of God, all may become one. Let them pray also that the strength and consolation of the Holy Spirit may descend copiously upon all those many Christians, of whatever church they be, who endure suffering and deprivations for their unwavering avowal of the name of Christ. Love one another with fraternal charity, anticipating one another with honour. Romans 12, verse 10. Each and all these matters which are set forth in this decree have been favourably voted on by the Fathers of the Council, and we, by the apostolic authority given us by Christ, and in union with the Fathers, approve, decree, and establish them in the Holy Spirit, and command that they be promulgated for the glory of God. Given in Rome at St. Peter's, November 21st, 1964.